When you're living a life of disobedience, you are not living in peace. I'll tell you why. Because if you stop and think, you have no assurance about the day. You don't have no assurance about tomorrow. You don't have any promise. You don't have a God to depend upon. You can't have peace. There is no way to live a godless life and have peace. There's not even any way for a child of God to live in disobedience to God and have any peace.
Are you stressed out? Do the demands of life sometimes just seem like too much? If that describes you, then stay with us for In Touch with Dr. Charles Stanley. Today we'll look at Philippians chapter 4, where we find important principles for responding in a godly way when anxiety strikes.
Many people live with anxiety every day, most of the day, all year long. Do you know how to deal with that? That is not the will of the Father. It's one thing to have brief moments of anxiety. It's something else to live with it. It's something else to find yourself in the mornings waking up with it, on your job thinking about it. It's something else to go to bed with it, wake up in the middle of the night with it. That's not what God intends for His children. And so I want you to turn to probably the best passage in the whole Word of God about anxiety, and that is Philippians chapter 4. So let's look, if you will, beginning in this fourth verse, and let's read through the ninth verses. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men, the Lord is near." Then here's what he says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God that surpasses all comprehension," that is, you just can't understand it, "will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Then finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good report, if there is any excellence and anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things." Then the ninth verse says, "The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." Now, notice what he says here. He says, "Don't be anxious for anything, but in everything by prayer, supplication, thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." So, if I'm going to be able to overcome anxiety and to live above that in my life, then the first thing I have to do is I have to learn to pray right. I have to learn to pray right. When we pray, the best way to get the best and the right answer is to focus on Him. Because what is it that He wants? Listen, God can give you and me anything in the world He chooses to because He's omnipotent. He has all power. He's omniscient. He knows exactly what we need. He knows the difference in my needs and my wants. Or as somebody says, my needs and my greeds. He knows the difference between them. And so when you and I come to Him, we know that we're coming to a Heavenly Father who knows exactly what we need. He has the power to make every single thing possible, all of our needs to be met, so that what is it He desires? He desires our love and our devotion. He wants our focus to be upon Him, because what's His greatest desire is to build an intimate relationship with you and me so that the ones He died for, those of us who have trusted Him as our personal Savior, He loves us. He wants the best for us, and He wants us to love Him back and to recognize that He's the source of every good thing that comes our way. He's the source of some things that are not what we would consider good, but He's the source, and He turns it into good. So, he says, if you want to avoid anxiety in your life, first thing, he says, you come to Him and you pray. And notice what he says, pray about everything. The second thing I want you to notice, if we're going to overcome anxiety and maintain it, is in this next verse that most people don't realize this. Look in verse 8. He says, "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good report," he says, "dwell and of excellence, dwell on these things." You see, not only must I pray right, I got to think right. What do you dwell on? What do you think about? Is it all sports? Is it all movies? Is it all something that's worldly? How much time do you dwell on your personal relationship with God? I think all of us would agree that the most important thing in our life is our personal relationship with God. It's the most important thing. It is. Then how much time do you dwell on that? Not whether He loves you or not, but on the fact of who He is and what He's doing in your life and seeking His mind and His will. And as you think about tomorrow on in your schedule, do you think about tomorrow in your schedule, the things that are there in light of who He is and what He wants to do and what He wants to accomplish and how He wants to guide you and how He wants to lead you? And you know that some things are coming up, they're going to be a little sticky, a little hard, a little tense, a little difficult. Do you dwell on those things, bring them before Him and say, Lord, tomorrow, this could be a difficult situation. I want You to show me how to respond. Show me how to respond to this situation. Don't let me get anxious. Don't let me get upset. Don't let me get angry, Lord. I know it's going to be tense, and I know they're going to falsely accuse me, but I want You to show me how am I to respond. Right thinking. Right thinking. And if you'll notice what he says in Paul wrote in a time when immorality, for example, was rampant all through those days and through the years, and also through the cities of Corinth and Ephesus and Philippi and all of those Greek cities. Listen to what he says. He says, finally, brethren, whatever is true. He says, think on these things, not what's false. If you watch the television, except for In Touch, if you watch the television, you will hear many things that are not true. Many things that are not true. And if you listen to people, you're going to hear a lot of things that are not true. He says, you're not to dwell on things that are true. How do we do that? In prayer, we ask the Holy Spirit to give us, listen, spiritual discernment to be able to distinguish between what's true and what's false, what's right and what's wrong, what's lovely from His perspective, what's not. Listen to what he says. Brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable. There's some things, listen, that are just not honorable for us to be dwelling on. Whatever is right. We want to dwell on what's right, not how can you get the best of somebody, not how can you manipulate some circumstance, how can you take advantage of somebody, but what's right and what is pure. That is, if you look around today, there's a lot of impure, immoral thinking going on everywhere you turn, whether it's people say, whether it's on the television or movies or magazines or whatever it might be. God's people are to think about the things that are right and good and holy and true and wholesome and honorable and pleasing. The kind of things that Jesus would think about and talk about and dwell upon. Whatever thing is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good report. If there's any excellence, dwell on these things. What do you dwell on in your thinking? Because you see, the truth is, watch this. If I don't pray right, I'm not going to think right. And if I don't think right, I'm not going to pray right. You can't separate them. If I want to have victory over anxiety, I have to pray right, and I've got to think right. Those two things go together. And this is why Paul, in this passage, is saying what he's saying. And when I think about the kind of society that he lived in and the kind of things he had to face, and the Scripture says in Isaiah, the 26th chapter, and 3rd verse, he says, those who dwell upon Him, those whose minds and hearts are stayed, the Bible says, stayed on Him, there will be peace. Because what's the opposite of anxiety? It is peace. And if I should ask you if you want peace, yes. Well, in the 14th chapter of John, here's what Jesus said. He said, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. Don't be afraid. He says, now the world's going to offer you a peace, but it's false. They can't. In other words, as long as you don't have a right relationship with God, you're not going to have any peace. As long as there's no prayer in your life, you're not going to think right. Your thinking's not right. Your praying's not right. There's not going to be any peace. So we have to ask ourselves the question, if we really and truly want peace and contentment in our life, does that mean there'll be no troubles? No. Does it mean that there won't be any heartaches? Does it mean that you won't suffer? No, it doesn't mean any of that. But it simply means this, that in whatever circumstance we find ourselves, there is a peace that passes all understanding. Now, this is exactly what he's referring to when he says, listen, and the peace of God, not what the world offers, the peace of God that Jesus spoke about, which surpasses all comprehension. How do you explain it? You can't. This is why he uses this term. He says, the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension. You won't be able to understand it, But while you can't understand it, he says it's like God puts his hedge around you. He garrisons you about. That's when he says he guards. He garrisons you about. That's what the word is. He encircled you with this awesome sense of peace. And think about this. When God has encircled you with himself, the only way anything can get to you is only if he opens the door and allows it. So therefore, as a child of God, you and I have the awesome sense of security that whatever touches us had to first go through the garrison of Almighty God. And therefore, if he's allowed something in our life, painful as it could be, he must have a reason for it and a purpose for it. And so we go back to what Paul said in Romans 8:28, which we quote this one with joy as long as everything's going our way. Oh, praise the Lord. Doesn't the Bible say all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who are called according to his purpose? And most people stop with this. All things work together for good. The Bible does not say that. The Bible says, Romans 8:28, God causes all things to work together for good to those who love him, called according to his purpose. That is, those who are walking in obedience to him. Because he doesn't cause all things. In other words, all things are not good. And God doesn't cause all things to be good if you stop at that. But what does he do? He makes it possible. He causes us to be able to have peace, contentment. And you see, the very word anxiety refers to pulling something apart in our thinking. The word peace is, the Greek word is eirene, which simply means to bind together. And what is he talking about? That God desires that you and I have such a relationship with him that, you know what? We can't explain it, and neither can anybody else. So what you have to ask is this. Do I want peace in my life, or do I not? It's a choice. You said, wait a minute, I don't choose all those difficult things I go through. That's fine. None of us choose those. None of us would say, God, bring it on. I'd never say that. I don't have that much courage to say, just bring it on, God. But I do know this, that whatever he allows and whatever he brings, he'll turn it into something absolutely fantastic. That's the third thing he says here. Notice this. And that's in the 9th verse. So he says, first of all, we pray right, we think right. And in verse 9, the things you've learned and received and heard, look at that, things you've learned them, you've received them, you've heard them and seen them, Paul says from me, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. So what does that mean? That means I got to pray right, think right, and live right. A life of obedience. When you're living a life of disobedience, you are not living in peace. Somebody says, well, I'm not even a Christian, and all that stuff you talk about, Christianity and so forth. I've got peace, and I don't have God. I don't have God in my life. You don't have peace. You're just lying. I'll tell you why. Because if you stop and think, you have no assurance. You have no hope of life after this one. You're going to die one of these days. You have no assurance about today. You don't have no assurance about tomorrow. You don't have any promise. You don't have a God to depend upon. You can't have peace. You know what you're doing? You're living in tension and stress. You may drink it away. You may drug it away. You may sex it away. You may do a lot of things. It's only temporary. There is no way to live a godless life and have peace. There's not even any way for a child of God to live in disobedience to God and have any peace. That's why a holy life is very, very important in the eyes of God. And people don't even like to think about holy. They don't like the words holy. They don't like the words reverence because somehow that doesn't fit our society, correct. But it fits who you and I are because you and I belong to the Son of God. He is our Savior, our Lord, and our Master. He says, I'll give you peace, peace that the world can't give you. And the peace I give you, the world cannot give you. My peace I leave with you. Why? He's the peacemaker. Why does the Bible call him the Prince of Peace? I mean, he is the origin of it. He's the source of it. You want peace, you've got to have Jesus Christ in your life. And apart from that, you're not going to have it. You say, well, I just don't believe all that. Well, here's what you're saying. You slam the door on peace forever. And what Paul is saying here simply is this. No matter what you go through, no matter what the heartache, the pain, the disappointments in life, if you will pray right, and if you will think right, and if you will live right, you'll be able to say what the Apostle Paul said, and that is, I have learned to be content in whatever circumstance I am. Now, I'm sure there are times in my life when I'll have a brief moment of anxiety about something, and you know, people are always worried about their age and so forth. There's a great advantage of being my age, and that's this. I've lived through enough stuff in my life to know what doesn't work and what does work. So I can bear personal testimony that I've never been disappointed obeying the Word of God. Never been disappointed obeying the Word of God. I've seen a lot of stuff and I've been through a lot of stuff. And what I'm telling you is the absolute, not only gospel fact, but by experience, you can have contentment and you can have peace in your heart when, as the world says, all hell breaks loose. The most disturbing conversation I ever had in my entire life. I remember when this gentleman finished talking to me, I hung up the phone and I was absolutely amazed at the awesome sense of peace that God just clothed me with. And I remember saying out loud, sitting in my study by myself, I said, God, you've been in charge of my life all these years. You're in charge of it now in this circumstance. And that would be one of the most frightening things that could happen to a pastor. You don't have to live with anxiety. It'll kill you. It can kill you physically, can kill your testimony, kill your joy, choke out your sense of happiness in life. It's a choice we make, and I want to challenge you. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're not going to have peace. You can surround yourself and fill your life with all the things that money can buy. Surround yourself with lots of people who may take care of you or love you, whatever it might be. But until that vertical relationship is right, you'll never have any peace. There'll always be that inner sense of fear, that gnawing away, something down inside is not exactly right. And God made it this simple for you. The Scripture says He sent Jesus Christ into this world primarily in order to die for your sins and mine. And when He went to the cross, He paid your sin debt in full, not partially, because you can never pay for any of it. He paid it for you in full, once and for all, in one eternal act. Jesus paid the sin debt of the entire world. The gift that comes from that is a result of my being willing to acknowledge that He died, that who He is Jesus, the Son of God, and that He died for my sins. He's paid that price. And if I'm willing to confess Him as my Savior and my Lord, all that death arranged becomes mine in total forgiveness and the gift of eternal life, a home in heaven, and everything that goes with all that. It's when you have that. It's when you have that and you learn to pray right, think right, obey Him, that what the Apostle Paul said is absolutely the truth. And I want to encourage you to make a very wise decision. Think about what you've heard. Think about what you dwell on. Think about your prayer life. Think about your eternity. And think in your heart, what is it I really and truly want in life? God has offered His best to His children who will walk in obedience to Him. And I've simply said there are three things you need to remember. If you pray right, and you think right, and you live right, you've got life at its very best. And Father, how grateful we are for Your love for us and for making things so simple. Teach us how to be able to discern between what the world has to offer and what You offer, between what's good and what's best, between what's evil and what's righteous, what the will of the Father is and what the will of Satan is for our life. We love You and we praise You and we bless You for being this awesome God You are, so full of love and goodness and mercy to Your children. I pray that every person who hears this message will stop and think recognize that I've not given my opinion, but simply quoted your precious word, eternal, infallible, and the book by which we'll be judged. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for joining us on In Touch with Dr. Charles Stanley. If you wrestle with anxiety, remember that God offers to remove your feelings of worry and fear. Through a relationship with Jesus Christ, you can cast all your anxiety on Him. Dr. Stanley often says, obey God and leave the consequences to Him. If you're wondering how to develop a lifestyle of trusting God, browse the many helpful tools available at intouch.org to help you walk in faithfulness. And to order a copy of Dr. Stanley's complete message, When Anxiety Strikes, visit our online bookstore. Again, log on to intouch.org or call 1-800-INTOUCH. To write to us, address your letter to In Touch, Post Office Box 7900, Atlanta, Georgia, 30357. Is it your habit to always seek God's wisdom? Stay with us for today's Moment with Charles Stanley, coming up.
Explore Alaska with In Touch Ministries, Dr. Stanley, and guests, July 25th through August 1st. Call 855-663-5252 or visit intouch.org/Alaska.
God acts on behalf of those who wait on Him.
One of the most valuable lessons you'll ever learn in the Christian life is learning to wait upon God. There's something about waiting we don't like. We naturally become impatient because we're living in a world where not only do we want it now, we can have it now. But that's not the way it is with God.
Dr. Stanley's new book, Waiting on God, is available now at bookstores everywhere.
You don't have to navigate life with your limited wisdom and understanding. You can listen to the Holy Spirit speak to your spirit. With encouragement for believers, here's A Moment with Charles Stanley.
And you see, you and I live in a very materialistic age. It's what you see, what you feel, what you touch. And so all the propaganda and all of the advertisements, listen, they make them look shiny. They make her look beautiful. This wealth and all the prosperity and all the things, all of this is just what does it do? It just pours into people's minds. And what happens? Want to have this? Got to have that? Must have this? Anytime somebody says, if you don't get it today, you won't get it, then tell them to keep it. Because it is a danger. And you see, when you and I who are believers find ourselves tempted for things that are not of God, He is going to send us a signal, don't do that. Don't move in that direction. Don't touch that. Don't build that relationship. Don't go there. But you see, if you're controlled by what you feel, what you see, and these desires within you that get out of control, you head in the wrong direction, you're going to make a decision that's going to cost you in future consequences.
You'll find guidance for making wise and godly decisions at intouch.org. If you'd like to hear today's message again, you can find it in the radio section of our website, plus an entire library of messages in our audio archives. You can also download a podcast of our program and take it with you. Our web address again is intouch.org. And if today's program has prompted you to take a new look at how you could influence others with the grace of God, please let us know. Are you devoting your life to things that will last forever? Tomorrow, Dr. Stanley explains how to make life's greatest investment. That's Wednesday on In Touch with Dr. Charles Stanley. This program is a presentation of In Touch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia, and remains on this station through your faithful prayers and gifts.